10-3-0-0-2. United States versus Michael Campbell. And it's Ms. New.
Hello. Good morning, Your Honor.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
You're not so long ago.
No, this is my first time before this court. Yes, I'm very excited about it.
What am I thinking of? My goodness. Wow, your first time.
First time.
I'm sorry we don't have a bigger audience.
That's okay. There was one earlier, but they've left.
Nice to have you.
Thank you. May it please the court, as Judge Rovner pointed out, my name is Megan New, and I represent the appellant, Mr. Michael Campbell, in this case. Today, I'd like to address the first issue that Mr. Campbell raises on appeal, which is that the district court violated his Sixth Amendment right to self-representation when it failed to entertain Mr. Campbell's request to proceed pro se.
How many letters did he send to the judge in the time period around March 19th?
He sent three letters leading up to March 19th, including the March 19th letter.
And in any of those other letters, did he either indicate that he still desired to proceed pro se, or that he no longer wished to do so?
There were two. There was a letter in December and then another letter in early March in which he only discussed his dissatisfaction and mistrust of the lawyer. The March 19th letter, which was the request to proceed pro se, and then a late April letter in which he did not raise the issue to proceed pro se, but that could be because he thought the judge would address that motion at the April 28th hearing. And so Mr. Campbell wrote the letter on March 19th in which he clearly requested that the judge either appoint him a new attorney or allowed him to represent himself at trial. At the April 28th hearing, the judge first addressed Mr. Campbell's pro se motion to continue. And the judge made it very clear to Mr. Campbell that that was the only motion that he was addressing, as you can see on page 13 of the short appendix. And in the context of that motion to continue, Mr. Campbell said to the judge in regards to jailhouse recordings that had recently been produced in discovery, I need time to get my witnesses together and prepare for trial. And the judge says to him, well, you're not going to try the case yourself, are you? To which Mr. Campbell said, oh, no, and then continued to discuss the need to get witnesses together and to prepare for trial. That question by the district court completely fails to satisfy the requirement of Feretta and the requirements established by this court, specifically the procedures that are required when a defendant raises a request to proceed pro se.
An elaborate colloquy is needed to make sure that if he goes forward, it's a knowing and intelligent waiver of the right to counsel and everything else. It surely doesn't take very much to withdraw a request, though. You don't have to go through that full Feretta colloquy in order to withdraw.
Absolutely, Your Honor. However, Feretta does require that the judge is duty-bound under Feretta to engage the defendant in some sort of colloquy.
Even if the defendant changes his mind?
Well, the
colloquy is designed to try to make him change his mind. So.
Well, the question that was asked by the district court, well, you're not going to try the case yourself, are you? It is an ambiguous question, especially for a defendant who is not a trained lawyer. If you look at the transcript, Mr. Campbell thought the judge was only entertaining his motion to continue. A clearer question would have been, Mr. Campbell, you wrote me a letter, you requested to proceed pro se. Is it your choice to waive counsel and proceed to trial and represent yourself? That's a much different question than, well, you're not going to try the case yourself, are you? And that question was ambiguous. And, in fact, at the end of the April 28th hearing, the judge and the defense attorney engaged in a conversation regarding the status of Mr. Campbell's request. The defense attorney was so uncertain about what that one question and answer meant that he asked the district court, well, just in an abundance of caution, Mr. Campbell had raised a pro se motion. I just want to make sure that that motion is withdrawn. The court said, I assume it's moot, so I didn't go into the colloquy. Again, Feretta would require the district court to, at the very least, ask Mr. Campbell, you raised this motion to proceed pro se. I have denied your motion to continue. I will not replace your court-appointed attorney. What do you want to do? Do you want to proceed with your attorney, or do you want to represent yourself? And that question, that conversation never took place. Of course, if Mr. Campbell had answered, "No, Your Honor, I'm happy with my defense attorney," Peretta would require nothing more from the district court. However, just even getting over that initial roadblock of, is the request genuine and do we need to take the time to engage in a Peretta colloquy, would have been necessary, and the district court failed to do anything to inquire of Mr. Campbell what his desires were at that point. The government has pointed out that perhaps Mr. Campbell's silence throughout the remaining of the hearing is tantamount to forfeiture. However, all Peretta requires is that Mr. Campbell make the request, and that's what he did in the March 19th letter. At that point, he triggered the duty of the district court to engage in the colloquy, and the district court failed to do so.
If we agree with you and remand this case, would you agree that Mr. Campbell would be perfectly free on remand to say, "I'd really like a lawyer," and would be required, and so we would go through another trial with different counsel?
We haven't discussed that with him, but I would say yes, Your Honor. A Peretta colloquy, as this court knows, is very fact specific, and there were several issues with the defense counsel that caused Mr. Campbell to get to the point where he felt like he had no choice but to request a new attorney or to proceed pro se. I can tell you for sure that the defense attorney in the initial trial would not be Mr. Campbell's trial counsel if there were a new trial, but I don't know at this point yet if Mr. Campbell would want to represent himself or get a new attorney, and that's something that we, of course, would deal with if this court remanded for new trial. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Cox.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning.
May it please the Court, Richard Cox on behalf of the United States. I guess I'd like to just begin by echoing what one of your questions, Judge Hamilton, which is Peretta doesn't require the district court at all to engage in the kind of colloquy that the appellant is suggesting. I'm not saying that maybe good practice by a district court might not require it, but the Sixth Amendment and Peretta certainly don't require it. Peretta requires a specific discussion colloquy with a defendant who clearly and unequivocally request to represent himself.
Given that his request for a continuance was based on his need to review the CDs and not a need to prepare for the trial pro se, isn't it likely that the question by the judge would be taken in that context, in that Campbell could have been responding that his argument for a continuance was not based on any plan to conduct his trial pro se? I mean, even if an isolated leading question like this one could ever be enough, how is it enough in this case when the context makes the likelihood of confusion or error even greater?
I'm not saying that maybe the judge couldn't have asked different questions, Your Honor, but I do think that if you take this in context, that Mr. Campbell had written a 6-page single-spaced letter, and only at the very end, after complaining about various personality conflicts, quite frankly, my lawyer doesn't see me enough, he's rude to me, his secretary's rude to me, all these kinds of issues, and I'm concerned that I'm not ready to go to trial. If you don't give me a new lawyer, I want to proceed pro se. One little sentence in that 6-page single-spaced letter.
It doesn't matter where it appeared. It doesn't matter that it appeared in one letter. It appeared.
I agree with that, Your Honor, except it has to be clear and unequivocal. And I think the subsequent events that happened at least convinced Judge McCuskey, an experienced trial court judge, that what Mr. Campbell really wanted was to continue his case, which is what he addressed at the subsequent hearing.
So you don't feel that Campbell was really given short shrift here?
I don't. The judge personally addressed him. He said, I think if you look at that 6-page letter, what Mr. Campbell in history and in context is saying, I'm not ready for trial. I'm not ready for trial. And the judge wanted to make sure that Mr. Campbell's lawyer was ready for trial. So he specifically engaged Mr. Campbell about what is it that you don't think your lawyer is ready for trial for, and engaged both Mr. Campbell and his lawyer, found out that it was these jailhouse conversations, that Mr. Taylor, his appointed lawyer, had ample time to go over them, had gone over them with Mr. Campbell. Mr. Campbell just felt he hadn't had sufficient time, which is when the judge then turned to him and said, well, you're not going to try this yourself, are you? And he said, oh, no. I mean, it seems to me that in the district court...
But then he went on with his explanation, which was, but I just want to be able to listen to the CDs. And, you know, he's interrupted. It's clear that he was focused on explaining to the court why he felt he needed time to review the CDs and that his desire for more time was not on the need to prepare for a trial pro se. It was to try and understand what the evidence was. And to me, his answer to that out-of-context question reads like an aside rather than an effort to determine what Mr. Campbell wanted, whether he was still seeking new counsel, or whether he was proceeding pro se. I have no certainty at all, personally, as to what his wish was, particularly in light of his continued dissatisfaction with his representation. I think the colloquy here was non-existent.
Well, I certainly agree with you, Your Honor, that there wasn't very much, but there were many more opportunities where Mr. Campbell, who clearly was an eloquent person, who felt no reserve in personally addressing, personally submitting letters to the district court.
He was interrupted by the judge.
He sent subsequent letters to the court, Your Honor, that certainly there was no colloquy that was interrupted, and never once did he say, I want to represent myself.
Well, I'm in love with Judge McCuskey, but I do not guess. Well, in fact, no. But I don't, and he's such a patient fellow, I don't understand why in this instance, this occurred.
Obviously I can't get into his head, but I look at this case, Your Honor. I mean, I wasn't involved personally in the case, so I review the same record that you do. I look at the history of this case, and this case had been pending for a very long time. There had been multiple continuances. This was really not a complicated case. The discovery had all been given over, and then Mr. Campbell himself kept wanting continuances, which even Judge McCuskey said was odd, that usually it was the defense attorneys and the defendants want their trials quickly, and he kept saying, no, I don't feel like I'm ready, I don't feel like I'm ready. But he was really dissatisfied with this lawyer. That's the real bones in this case, is he was dissatisfied with Mr. Taylor. I can't change your guess is as good as mine, I guess, Your Honor, in terms of what was actually in Judge McCuskey's head, but I think the record shows that Mr. Campbell didn't make that clear and unequivocal request. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ms. New, how much time does Ms. New have?
3.5 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Campbell's request to represent himself was the pink elephant in the room at the April 28th hearing. Everybody knew he had made the request, and at the end, when the defense attorney spoke to the judge about it, it would have been so simple and so easy for the district court to turn to Mr. Campbell and say, I've denied your motion to continue. Mr. Taylor will continue to represent you. What do you want to do? Do you want to waive your right to counsel and proceed to trial and represent yourself? We pointed out in both of our briefs two cases that I'd like to remind this court of, the Sixth Circuit case of Moore and the Third Circuit case of Bull v. Cooksey. In each of those cases, after a defendant raised a request to represent himself at trial, the judge ignored the request and did not entertain, and just completely failed to entertain the request. The government seems to be saying that Mr. Campbell's motivation here should be a factor in whether or not the colloquy was sufficient. However, in the Bull case, the Third Circuit said the motivation for a defendant's request to proceed pro se is irrelevant. What matters is that the defendant makes the request, and at that point, the district court is duty-bound to engage the defendant in a colloquy. While his motivation might inform whether it was knowing or intelligent, at the very least, it would have been very easy and very simple for the district court, the defense attorney, or the government to ask Mr. Campbell whether or not he wanted to proceed pro se to trial. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Now, you were also appointed,
Your Honor, and yes. You
certainly have our deep and sincere thanks for the terrific job you've done. And I have to go back and figure out who I think you are. And you too, just thank you so much, Mr. Cox, for such a fine argument.